recording. So last time we talked about some of these higher frequency converters, methods that are commonly used to get up past what we can do with a simple zero voltage switching converter, things that more closely approximate these ideal waveforms, bringing in techniques from really RF amplifier design, applying them to power electronics. Let's go back to our kind of AC link type converters, where we're really looking at a high frequency inverter, a high frequency rectifier, both of them matched and resonant in their design. These things now, because they have significant multi-resonant behaviors, even more than the multi-resonant buck that we looked at, which just had this one weird interval where it had a resonance plus an integrator. These will have multiple resonant frequencies in many intervals. So won't be well suited to state plane analysis. And we're moving towards a technique for addressing that other than our old fallback of just write a bunch of equations, solve all the differential equations, probably only numerically. There's your solution. Before we got there, I wanted to talk a little bit about control and dynamics of these converters. So we started with our ZVS quasi-resonant buck that we had solved a few lectures ago. Made some arguments here that by only changing the switch cell, I can really use my analysis of the buck converter and then modify how the switch cell behaves from the PWM case to the quasi-resonant case. And that'll give me my behavior of my ZVS quasi-resonant buck. So went through, looked at the small signal model that we would have derived in 481. Noticed that it depends on this duty cycle in three places, but we can replace that duty cycle, which was the switch conversion ratio in the PWM buck, with the switch conversion ratio in the ZVS quasi-resonant buck. So went through and solved what that switch conversion ratio looked like. We brought that from a previous lecture, and then we started the process of linearizing. So there were three variables involved. We had switching frequency, inductor current, and input voltage. So to linearize this equation, looking at the small signal model, we took the Taylor series expansion, the first order of the partial of that with respect to those three variables, and found those three things. Okay. So going through and evaluating the derivative of that function, I want to kind of bring these results together and then apply them to a test case today. So what we solved last time is that this M or mu hat was equal to first order Taylor series expansion with respect to these three signals. And I'm going to write that as three constants. I'm going to have KC times FS hat plus KI times IL hat plus KV times VG hat. For these three Ks, are my partials of M with respect to that variable evaluated at DC, what we solved last time. Okay. So if I bring in those results, KC is this term, and we evaluated it here. It was this expression in square brackets, divided by 2 pi f naught with a negative sign. So I'm going to try to simplify that a little bit by looking at this top equation. So if this thing is everything that's in square brackets just evaluated at the DC operating point, I can say this I can solve for in terms of M and F. So just by saying subtract the 1 over to the left and then divide by minus F over 2 pi. So that'll give me F of JL is equal to m minus 1 divided by f over 2 pi with a negative sign. That negative sign will cancel with this negative sign, and I'm going to plug this thing in here. Capital F is FS over F naught. My 2 pi F naught is going to cancel. And I'm going to get M minus 1 over FS. So this thing, let's write this first. This was F of JL over 2 pi F naught equal to M minus 1 over FS. Where this M is my capital M, is my BC operating point conversion ratio. FS should also be capital FS, the switching frequency I'm linearizing around. Okay. Now, if I'm looking at control, I'm going to begin varying that switching frequency. Okay. Ki is this term. My partial of M with respect to IL, that looks like this. F over 2 pi R naught over VG times this partial. KV, this thing here, this IL over VG squared R naught is JL over VG. Because if I took away that squared, this is just my IL over I base. This becomes F over 2 pi JL over VG. Partial of F of JL with respect to JL. I'm sure I've missed a negative sign somewhere. Got that one. I lost this one. This one cancels. So my KI, I lost the negative sign. Okay. And then this other thing, this partial with respect to JL, we evaluated here, it came out to be this, which was this. Okay. So, summary of our results from last time, these kind of gains here, KC, KI, KV, all three are going to be fixed values. These come from my linearization around my DC operating point. They're all evaluated at my DC operating point. There's no signals left in these. They multiply my small signal parameters up here, but all three are going to evaluate to just some constant. Respect to my control. So when I put that into my AC model here, my small signal linearized average model, and I get it something like this, where the main circuit part here is the same as the PWM buck, hard switched PWM buck. The difference is I don't just have my control feeding in and controlling these things as I did before. Before I just had this multiplying my duty cycle, this multiplying my duty cycle and my DC duty cycle there. Now instead I have some derived parameter, which is my control, in this case, switching frequency, or modulating switching frequency, plus some kind of inherent feedback from the output current and inherent feed forward from the input voltage. Okay. So some interesting behaviors there. This thing kind of has an internal feedback mechanism. Like I mentioned, we're now controlling switching frequencies. We're looking at switching frequency modulation. Which, because we were looking at the non-synchronous VVS quasi-resonant buck, the diode, we don't have any ability to do duty cycle control. If we start changing the duty cycle, we lose VVS on one device or the other. If I make this into a synchronous VVS quasi-resonant buck, then I have a little bit more freedom. I might be able to go back to constant switching frequency control. But with the diode, the only way I can have any form of control while maintaining my nice soft switching behavior is to change the switching frequency. Okay. So this would just be some model of the realization of that. This GM would be the gain of whatever is translating a signal into a variable switching frequency. If I'm doing this analog, this would be something like a VCO, the voltage controlled oscillator. And typically this may just look like a constant gain value. So this is equivalent of my PWM block when I did PWM control. I had this sawtooth, compared it to a reference. I went from some analog voltage to some controlled duty cycle signal. Now I'm just doing that with switching frequency. And there's going to be a gain here in hertz per volt. It just says, as my voltage varies this much, this is how much it changes the switching frequency. Okay. I'm going to control it with that. I'll get the switching frequency out. And now my converter is controlled by FS, but with these inherent feedback paths from output current and input voltage. Okay. The circuit here, like I mentioned, is the same as the PWM buck. And if I look at transfer functions from this point, they're going to be the exact same. Okay. So my mu to alpha voltage transfer function is the same as my GVD from the PWM buck. The only difference is that this is not my control. This is my control. And I've got these extra feedback paths changing what actually gets sent to the converter. Okay. So we can look at it, we can solve this and figure out how going to a ZVS quasi-resonant buck affects the dynamics of my converter. Before I do that, I'm gonna just solve the original hard switching PWM buck, which would be this back to duty cycle. And because this is the same circuit here, just with the change of notation, I can use those results in my ZVS quasi-resonant buck, just combining them into this control block diagram. So this should be simple review. If I want to solve out, there's two things I'm going to be interested in here. I'm going to not worry about my line to output transfer function. What I want to know is my controlled output. So for the PWM buck, that was GVD, which is V hat over D hat. To solve that, because I'm looking at a linear circuit now, when I want to know the transfer function from duty cycle to output voltage, I shut off all other independent inputs, assume that the small signal component of other things is zero. That's going to cause me to short out VG. Say VG hat is zero while I'm looking at this transfer function. That short is here, which is going to effectively short out this current source. It's going to kind of reflect through the transformer and just be a short here. Okay. So now, very easy to solve, it's just this impedance divider. Let's say V hat is VG D hat times 1 over SC in parallel with R over SL plus 1 over SC in parallel with R. So I write out this parallel impedance combination, look like R over 1 plus SCR, SL plus R over 1 plus SCR. And then I'm going to multiply top and bottom by 1 plus SCR. Okay, give me my VG D hat. S squared LCR plus SL plus R. And then to get this into standard form, I'm going to divide through by R. And this will give me my GVD is V hat over D hat is VG times 1 over S squared LC plus S L over R plus 1. No surprise there. So that is my controlled output transfer function in the PWM case. The other thing I'm going to solve here is GID, which is I hat over D hat, where I hat is the inductor current, because I'm going to need to know that due to this feedback in the ZVS quasi-resonant buck from that current. So GID, let's solve that. Now, all the same things apply since I'm looking at a transfer function from V hat, the short is still there. The only difference is now I'm solving for I hat instead of V hat, same circuit. I hat is equal to VGD hat, this source, divided by the impedance it sees, SL plus 1 over SC in parallel with R. The simplification here is going to be the same. My denominator, I'm going to get the same denominator. I'm going to multiply by 1 plus SCR and divide by R. That's going to give me is G over R times 1 plus SCR over S squared LC plus SL over R plus 1. All right. And so here this would still be multiplied by D hat, and then I say GID, I divide the D hat over, and I get D over R. All that without the D hat. These are my two transfer functions, no surprises here. They're under the same denominator, going through the same power stage, they have the same poles, only difference being DC gain and the zeros. So, when I go to my ZVS quasi-resonant buck, I now know KI, KC, and KV from last lecture's result. And I now know the transfer function through this power stage from this point. So if I kind of map this out as a control block diagram, what I would have is from this mu hat, my two transfer functions are going to be the same. I'm going to have my GID gives me I hat, and my GVD, which gives me V hat. So this whole thing the same as the PWM bus. Where things get different with the ZVS quasi-resonant bus is this new head is not just my control, it's a summation here of KC times my actual control, FS hat, plus some kind of feedback line, KI, on my inductor current, and then also some kind of feed forward through KV of my input voltage. Okay. So if I want to look for now my new control to output transfer function, I want to find G, we'll call VC, which is V hat over FS hat. Now, as I change switching frequency, my output voltage is going to vary. I have to solve from here to here. As I'm solving that, again, I'm going to say my input voltage, assume there's no AC component on it, applying superposition, looking at just the component of the output voltage due to my control. We'll say this goes to zero, a superposition. When I'm solving GVC. Okay. So to solve that, looking here, V hat is equal to GVD times mu hat. Just multiplying through here. And then mu hat is equal to, once this path goes away, it's the sum of these two paths. That looks like FS hat times KC plus KI GID mu hat going around this loop. So I can solve that expression from mu hat, which I now have on both sides. It's going to look like FS hat KC over 1 minus KI GID. And then plug that back in up here. I'll get V hat equal to DVD FS hat KC over 1 minus KI GID. Then GVC. My V hat over FS hat, and just divide that FS hat over, get GVD KC over 1 minus KI GID. So this thing, GVD, was my old controlled output transfer function. That's the one that I was going to look at, design a closed loop feedback system around. Plot this on a Bode plot, multiply it by my compensator transfer function, try to stabilize the system. Now, it's this whole thing. Okay? So, what do the dynamics of that whole thing look like, and how do they compare to the original dynamics? So, we can plug in here. GVC is equal to GVD KI over, KC. 1 minus GID KI. Okay. KC and KI, as I said, are just two constants evaluated at the DC operating point, just numbers. GVD and GID, those are functions of S, both have the dynamics in them. So if I plug in here, GVD looked like VG divided by this denominator, and for the moment, I'm just going to write that as VG divided by the denominator times KC over 1 minus GID was V over R 1 plus SCR divided by the same denominator. or that N is S squared LC plus SL over R plus 1. So I'm saving myself a little bit of headache writing that. Now I've got two terms divided by that same denominator, so I'm going to multiply through by it. What we get is GVC is equal to VG KC over this denominator minus V over R KI 1 plus SCR. Okay. I've got no choice, so I'm going to plug that denominator in. What we get is VGKC over S squared LC. I'll make an attempt here to group my terms. S times L over R. And then I'm going to subtract off multiple of SCR times V over RKI. R's will cancel, and I'll get VKIC. Then I'll have plus 1 from this minus V over R KI. Apologize, I've got an error here. I lost my G. This came from this here, and I lost VG. That's why I've got this phantom V in my equation. So I'm going to plug in. This should be VG, 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 VG. Sorry about that. Okay, then to get this in, one more step here, get this in normalized form, I need to have this be equal to 1. I'm going to divide the whole thing through by this term. Now it's going to look like VG times KC over 1 minus VG over RKI over S squared LC over 1 minus VG over RKI plus S L over R minus VG KIC 1 minus V over RKI plus 1. Whew, okay. We did it. All right, how did this change now? This is my GVC. This is my new controlled output. Before it was GVD, which was VG over that denominator. This looks somewhat similar. I've got VG over kind of that denominator. So I've got these terms altering things. And I'm going to alter my DC gain. I'm going to alter my resonant frequency. And I'm going to alter my Q. They're going to shift by scale factors given by this term. Okay. So DC gain, omega naught, and Q shift. Okay. Perhaps not so intuitive to see how much they shift, so let's look at an example. I took this same ZVS quasi-resonant buck that we have used to solve the ZVS quasi-resonant buck behavior and looked at simulations before in class. And I put an output filter here before I assumed this was ideal. 10 micro cap and a 10 micro inductor. Reminder, this is switching at 1 megahertz. This has output power about 60 watts. the out is about 12 volts. Anything else you might want to know about it? JL is approximately 1, which puts it on the ZVS boundary. And F about 0.6. All these approximately, like Kuhn-Nidabin simulation to get it right at the ZVS bound. Okay. For all these parameters, I plug in and I evaluate my constants, KC, KI, KV. Those were 6.24 E minus 7. KI was minus 0.005. KV was 5.6 E minus 4. Okay, so I take this thing and I plot the GVC, my controlled output transfer function, and the same for ZVS quasi-resonant buck and the PWM buck. What I get is a plot that looks like this. And there's this big difference in DC gain between those, but I've got this modulator gain in there. That's pretty easy to take out. I have no problem analog circuitry multiplying things. So if I look at them, just assuming I put an amplifier in there that has constant gain and put them at the same DC gain, I get this. Anybody else as disappointed as I am? All that algebra, and it's very marginally different from the PWM buck case. There's resonant frequency shifted a little bit. He went up a little bit, but almost the exact same transfer function. What do we do all this for? Does that make sense? So when I look at this thing, what's really going on is I'm changing a whole lot of high frequency dynamics here, right? So I've got the switching frequency and I've got a resonance going on at frequency very close to my switching frequency, a little bit above it. And the dynamics up there are completely different from when I just have my square wave. But I have that, and then I have this high impedance low pass filter after it that just kills everything up at those high frequencies, attenuates the heck out of it. And what I see over any frequency range, over the low frequency range where there are some dynamics, is really just the dynamics of this thing. Okay. So changes slightly because of this inherent feedback path, which is going to have some small alteration of how my circuit responds to perturbation. But for the most part, this whole thing is just some average volt seconds applied here, and they get filtered down to a DC value. And my only dynamics are what that low pass filter is doing. Okay. So, some sense, somewhat intuitive. My switching frequency, I'm in radians per second, so it'll be 2 pi times 1 megahertz is here. My resonant frequency is here. These are way out, way past my low pass filter. Anything going on here is just killed by that low pass filter. Okay. So here, we really don't get a lot of advantage in terms of control by going to this soft switching buck. We're still going to have to design a compensator in the same way we did for the PWM buck. Because we averaged, we're going to have to think about, okay, my bandwidth of my control has to be well below my switching frequency because I averaged out anything up here with my average equations for the conversion ratio. So I don't really know what the dynamics are out there. There may be more going on due to the switch, but by averaging everything above FS, I've averaged away. So I'm going to have to set bandwidth somewhere back here, half a decade to a decade below my switching frequency, get kind of the same control performance. Now, maybe it gave me some advantage. Maybe if this was a hard switch buck, I couldn't have done 1 megahertz. I'd had to do 100 kilohertz, needed a bigger filter, limited my bandwidth. But for the same LC output filter, fairly small difference here. That varies some based on operating point, varies some based on whether it's CVS quasi-resonant versus ECS quasi-resonant. But generally true of these resonant switch converters. They're inherent the properties of the parent converters, and that low pass filter dominates everything below the switching frequency. Okay. But what about something like this? I took my DAB. This doesn't have some big LC output filter. So it's not loaded with some low frequency filter here that's going to kill all the dynamics. I've really got my high frequency dynamics going all the way through this thing over to the output cap. The output cap is a filter element. But how do I go about modeling this? Okay. And it's generally true that I could do the same kind of thing. I've got my state plane analysis, I've solved through everything. Unlike the ZVS quasi-resonant buck, I couldn't get that in some nice single equation. M is a function of F in the output current. I have the system of equations, and I could go through and numerically solve all those, and then look at any point, do partial derivatives numerically. Those would be my gains from all parameters to one another, and I could get some numerical approximation to what the controlled output transfer function is of this using my average equation. That's true of any system. If I have the large signal characteristics, I can look at a single point, linearize it. That's my small signal behavior. Okay, no problem. What we're going to move into next is looking at more of a general approach to solving converter operation and small signal dynamics. It's going to depart a little bit from the analysis that we've been doing, but be something that really works for everything. Okay? It's going to move us into discrete time modeling, what we call sample data modeling. Okay? So we'll begin with that next time. We're going to discuss why it's useful, what are the pitfalls of what we've been doing so far, and then present this method. Okay. We'll pick up there on Monday.